Well, again, welcome to Vertical Church Milwaukee. My name is Jesse Schmidt, and I'm the lead pastor here. And we're so grateful that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. And we hope that as we continue into a time of opening God's word, it will bless you and you will be able to connect with the very presence of God. But as we do that, you know, one of the things we want to continue to do is we want to connect with people. And, you know, a church that's not connected to one another is not a church. And we do that through a lot of different ways. And so one of the ways, if this is your first time here, you've come a couple times and you haven't done this yet, right after service, myself and my wife, Ashley, who's serving kids ministry in that theater over there right now, we'll be outside at the connection table. And we'd love just to say hi, answer any questions that you might have. We have a gift that we would love to be able to give to you. So if you have been coming and you haven't done this yet, or this is your first time here, I would love to connect with you. And I'm just going to tell you right now, your gift is a coffee mug because I like coffee mugs. So if you want a coffee mug, come find me. Along with that, on the left-hand side, right-hand side, my left, your right, we have our connection folder. That's the next way we want to connect with you. If you could just fill that out, let us know that you were here. But even more importantly, at the bottom of that page is an opportunity to put prayer requests. And we firmly believe in the power of prayer. We want to be praying specifically for you. I was preaching on that a couple weeks ago. And so we want to pray for one another. And so my encouragement to you is put a prayer request on there every week. Put that in there. Give us some praise updates if there's praise updates. And that gets sent out to our prayer team so that we can be lifting you up in prayer. And then lastly, I got two more. Not lastly. Lastly, in connections, if you are like, you know, I do want to take the next step. How do I continue to move forward? What's the next way for me to get involved? We do a connection class once a month, connection lunch right after church at our house. If you're interested in that, you can go to verticalchurchmilwaukee.org and register for that. And we'd love to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing. But last week, we actually got the opportunity to launch small groups. We launched two of them. Yes, yes. And it was so good just to be together and to be, you know, we were praying for one another. We were kind of just setting some standards. This is what we believe, you know, God has called us to do in community and just to share life with one another. So we have one Wednesday night at our house that led by the Mattsons, and one at the Saunders house Thursday nights led by the Saunders and the Joneses. And my encouragement to you, that's really the next step of church life. You know, we believe in Sunday mornings, we want to come together, we want to worship, we want to open up God's word, we want to be praying together. But we really can't fully do what the church is called to do if we're not doing life together. And so I want to encourage you, even though we've launched and they've gotten started, you can still join. You can go online, again, Vertical Church Milwaukee, and fill that out and get connected to one of those. And that, you know, we really believe that is really part of the body of the church. So do that as well. The guys, you guys look so good. Give him a round of applause. Don't they do such a good job every Sunday morning? He just comes up here. I need to get you coffee next Sunday morning, though, so you can, you know. But this is just an opportunity for us to take our tithes and our offerings and to give back to the Lord what is his. But along with that, when I jump in, you know, we preach out of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible and you need one, Steve will kind of, you know, they can just raise your hand and Steve will walk you over a Bible and this is yours to keep to take home as well. So let me pray for the offering and the rest of the service and then we'll keep going. God, we come before you and we just thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to open up your word together. We thank you for the opportunity to be your church, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to build this church plant. And God, I pray you continue to build, God, all the different churches that are meeting right now around the city of Milwaukee. And God, we just pray that we would be able to see something miraculous happen in our lifetime, Lord. Just see you continuing to get a hold of people, not because of programs or not because of this or that, but because people are coming into the house of God and connecting with you. And God, that would light our soul on fire. And God, I pray that as we give of our tithes and our offerings this morning, Lord, that you would be worshiped and glorified. God, they would be given out of a heart of gratitude. And God, that we would use those for your glory. And God, just give us wisdom as we steward that well. And God, as we open up your word, God, just speak through me. God, let these be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are closing or ending our Vertical Essentials series. And so we kind of went through our mission. We talked about our vertical mission, and then we've been going through our four different pillars: unashamed adoration. We worship Jesus, the very person of Jesus. Unapologetic preaching, basically meaning, listen, we preach from this book, okay? Whether it's me on a Sunday morning or every morning when we get up as individuals, we are opening up this book because we believe this is the power that God has given us. We believe firmly in the power of prayer, unceasing prayer. We talked about that last week, and that God, when God moves, he moves through prayer, and that we need to have a life of prayer. And then this morning, we're going to be talking about unafraid witness. Unafraid witness, what it means to share our faith. And we're actually going to be right back, you know, if some of you guys are paying attention last week, and you're like, Jesse, you ended on Ephesians 6, 18. There's like, it's halfway through the sentence. I know, I'm going to pick up this week in the same spot, so don't worry. But so you can start turning there. But, you know, kind of before we go there, I want to talk a little bit about a story one time that happened. I was in an office in my last church in down in Rockford, and I got a phone call from Ashley, and she's like, hey, we got a phone call from a guy who, he wants to come clean our carpets. I was like, what? He's like, he wants to come clean our carpets. And he said he will, and he gave some name of the company he works for, and she said he'll come and clean one full room, any room in the house. And it's like, wow, living room's disgusting. We have, you know, let's get that cleaned. And he said, he'll come and clean, and all that he asks is that we tell other people about him, you know, or if we ever need our house cleaned, you know, we use them. I was like, sure, come on out. So this guy comes out, he scheduled a meeting with my wife, and he comes out about an hour before I got back from the office, a couple days later. And so I get home, and I'm expecting, you know, the carpet cleaner guy to be there with his hose, you know, kind of doing his thing. And I walk in, and there's just a little car outside. I was like, that's not quite right. And I walk inside, and here's a Kirby salesman opening up his bag of tricks. Have anybody ever had a Kirby salesman before? Anybody ever be a Kirby salesman before? Okay, if you're not, that's okay. If you have, I won't publicly judge you. But here he is. There are good Kirby salesmen out there. My dad sold Kirby things, so I should have known ahead of time at one point in time in my life. But here's this Kirby salesman sitting in our living room, unpacking all of his stuff for my wife to see. His Cadillac of carpet cleaners and vacuum cleaners. And I walked in, I was like, this dude's not cleaning our carpet. And he goes through, if you've ever done this before, they have this hour and a half, 2 hour long spiel where they just keep going and, well, let me show you this. And I'm going to spill all of this dirt on your carpet and I'm going to clean it up. Isn't that miraculous? No, my brown spot's still there, bro. Come on. And then they go and they, well, you can clean your cat and your dog and your kids with this thing as well. And they keep building on it. They keep building on it. And you're like, you're trying to like hint at them for them to leave. And then, well, let me tell you about this. And it's only for $2,799. You're like, but let me tell you, if you give me five names, I'll take $500 off. Well, I'll tell you what. If you buy this and this and this, and you give me 10 names of people I can call, I'll take $1,000 off. And then it's 45 minutes of this back and forth, to the point where it's basically like, brother, I'll give you $150 and my bike outside. And it took us forever to get this guy out of our house. And, you know, he used tricks and deception and confusion. He even made up his own name of a different company so that when he would say he was calling, you wouldn't say that he was a Kirby salesman. He said, I work for this carpet cleaning company. And a lot of times, this is how we view the gospel. We think that we need to share the gospel by hiding it inside of something or covering it with this, or until we build a relationship far enough where we can pull the bait and switch. But that's not what we do. We're not peddlers. We're not peddlers. We don't share a gospel that needs to be hidden in our own little box, but instead we need to speak boldly. And that's what Paul is referring to when he comes into Ephesians 6. Remember last week when we opened up in this section, starting in verse 10, he says, finally, he's wrapping up his his letter to the Ephesians. And you know, after all of these things that I've said, this is the final thing. And he talks about putting on the armor of the Lord and doing that in prayer, that we need to be praying for one another and praying earnestly and fighting for prayer. And then he gets to verse 19, and we need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he kind of gives us three different things that we can see that that allows us to be unafraid witnesses. If we're going to be effective witnesses, we need to be in prayer, speaking boldly, and living as ambassadors. We need to be in prayer, speaking boldly, and living as ambassadors. And that's the first thing. We need to be humbly in prayer. We need to be humbly in prayer. We need to go back to the source of our power. Jesse, you talked about prayer last week, right? I'm going to talk about it this week too, because it's so important. So often we think, hey, I'm going to jump in and do this and I got this, but we have to go back. And that's what Paul says. You know, Paul talks about in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplications to that end, and keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, as we talked about last week. In verse 19, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Paul said, and listen up. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. You know, Paul is in chains. He tells us that later on. And he's asking for prayer, but he's not asking for prayer to be able to get outside of these chains. He's not asking for prayer to remove him from his house arrest, but he's asking for prayer to be a witness. Say, Lord, help me in opening my mouth. And you know, Paul, just think about Paul a little bit. Okay, Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. You know, Paul went on multiple missionary journeys. Paul had special meetings with the Lord where God gave him revelation to be able to write a lot of the New Testament. You know, there's probably been almost outside of Jesus himself, he might be the person that's affected the most people for God's glory. I can't say that for sure, but probably. And, you know, you start to see all of the things that Paul was able to be a part of and start. And he's still asking for prayer. I mean, this is the guy who would go into a city and he would go into the temple and proclaim to the Israelites and to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he would leave there and he would go into the market and talk to anybody who would listen to him. You know, he would just go read all of his different stories. And he had this pattern every time. And anybody who would even give him an opportunity, he would go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to. And he's asking for prayer. Yeah, he is. Because we're not going to have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus if we're not praying for it. You know, a lot of times when I look at my life and I look at seasons of my life, well, I look back a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I'm like, man, I haven't shared the gospel with anybody in a long time. It's been a while since I've been able to really tell somebody about Jesus, where I've been able to direct a conversation there, had that kind of, you know, connection with somebody or whatever it might be. And I start to, you know, Lord, what's going on? And then I start to think about it. Have I really been praying for it? Oh, I haven't been. A lot of times our gospel proclamation is lacking because our prayer is lacking. Because we're not asking the Lord. See, you and I, we really don't have the ability to make these things happen. That's what we were talking about last week. We desperately need God's power. And if we want to be used for the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't start with a clever word. It starts with us on our knees before the throne. Lord, give us opportunities to be able to do this. Lord, give me opportunities at my job to be able to tell other people about the work that you are doing. Lord, at my gym, let me have an opportunity even today. Lord, when I'm going out grocery shopping, give me an opportunity to pray for somebody and tell them about Jesus. You see, we need to be actively asking God to give us opportunities. And that's what Paul does. He humbly goes before the Lord in prayer. And we need to be doing the same thing. And if you look back on your life and you're like, man, it's been a while. When was the last time you prayed for it? He had to go before the Lord in prayer. But the second thing, we got to speak boldness. An unafraid witness is speaking with boldness. You know, Paul says that he says, and also for me, pray for me that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And you know, there's a lot of different ways we try to tell people about Jesus. You know, we try to use our clever little tracks, which are helpful sometimes. Sometimes we try to, you know, slip it into a side conversation about something that we've been having. Or sometimes we, you know, there's a lot of different ways, but a lot of times it doesn't work because it's a side job. It's something we're just trying to put in there, just hoping that might catch on. I mean, if I say this, just maybe they'll be intrigued that I can go a little bit farther. Maybe if I let people see me enough long enough. No. Paul says, listen, that I might be boldly proclaiming. Boldly proclaiming that the words out of my mouth. And Paul's asking for prayer to be able to speak with boldness. He's saying the very words that are coming out of his mouth. And so, and this is kind of just another crazy thing. Again, remember we just talked about this is Paul, okay? We went through all of, you know, Paul's testimony, background, and all that good stuff. And Paul is asking for words. I mean, like when you read all of his writings and see all, you know, Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians and see, you know, Paul was a clever dude. He understood the gospel. He was a smart guy. There wasn't anybody like him. And he's saying, Lord, let these words be your words. He's praying that the words are not his, that the words might be given to him. Paul understands that he can't turn a phrase, that it has to be God. Paul is not the authority, God is. Paul understands that when he goes and proclaims the message of Jesus Christ, he is not proclaiming his own message. He is proclaiming the message of Jesus. And that's not a message from him. That's a message from God himself. And so he's saying, Lord, let these words not be my words, but let them be your words. He's getting himself to the right place. Lord, these are your words. These are your words. These are your words. That the words might be given to me. And they are actual words. He's praying for physical words. There's a phrase out there that I always look it up and then forget who says it because I always look it up after the fact. But you know the phrase. It says, you know, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. And everybody thinks like it's a clever phrase. One time I made that joke and someone's like, I actually wanted to get that tattooed. No. No. Okay, I don't know who made that phrase up, but it's not right. You see, the gospel is a living thing. It is something that we are called to do. We have to live a certain way. When Jesus transforms us, we need to live rightly. We're going to be going into 1 Peter next week, starting a new series. I'll be talking a lot about that. We are called to live in a very specific way. But the gospel is also spoken words. We are not just asking to be able to live in a certain way so people might. No, it is actually telling people about Jesus Christ. Paul is asking for words. And if you look back, well, yeah, I've proclaimed the gospel by my actions, but you've never actually opened your mouth to tell somebody about Jesus. That's a problem. If we want to be unafraid witnesses, we need to be asking the Lord for actual words. We need to speak with boldness. Well, Jesse, I've never done that before. Great. Go find a waiter today. Give him a good tip and then tell him about Jesus. Start with action, sure, but it has to be a spoken word. And then Paul says boldly. Okay, bold. And that word, it's an interesting word. And a lot of times when we look at it in just the English form, we kind of think of somebody who's like, you know, proclaiming from the rooftops or, you know, going into Sears and standing in the middle of a soapbox. And I mean, I've actually never seen somebody do that. I don't know why I picked Sears, but I did. But, you know, we think this idea of boldly that it's you know, up front, in your face, whatever. But that's not exactly what Paul is trying to say. That word, it means concealing nothing, passing over nothing. It means the freedom to speak. the freedom to speak, the plainness of speech. These are all the different descriptions of this word that comes from the Greek. And what Paul is trying to say is that when we tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we just tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We tell them about the fact that we are sinners and that we, you know, God created us perfect. And then back in Genesis 3, we sinned against God. And from every time or every person from that moment has been born a sinner against a holy God. And every problem that we have is because of that sin. And we can't do anything about it, but God did. But God did. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to take our place. Because see, God loves us. God wants to show us his plan of redemption. So he sent his son, Jesus, to take our place on the cross. And on that cross, he took my sin and took God's wrath because God is perfect and holy and God cannot have anything unholy in his presence. Clean water with dirt in it is no longer clean water. A holy God with unholy things is no longer God. And so we couldn't be in God's presence, so we needed Jesus. We needed Jesus. And you see, Jesus took your place in my place. He took our place so that my sin could be paid for, so now I can come into the presence in a relationship with God, and God can be my Lord and Savior, and I can live in heaven and eternity forever because of Jesus. And this is far better than anything this world has to offer. You see, we talk about the gospel plainly. That's it. When Paul's talking about boldness, it's not this like in-your-face, confrontational, yelling it, you know, peddler sneaking into the house like a Kirby salesman. It's just telling people about the gospel. Not being afraid. Yeah, you got to talk about sin. It's part of it. But you're also talking about God's love and God's righteousness and God's holiness. You're also talking about God's eternity in heaven forever. You're talking about Jesus coming down and taking our place, giving up, there's some hard things, but there's also a lot of really good things. And we just tell it all. We just tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. So I'm just going to tell you, this is it. Help me speak boldly. No deception, no covering, the freedom to speak, concealing nothing, plainness of speech. We just tell people in everyday conversation. He says, proclaiming the mystery of the gospel. You see, in the Old Testament, God always promised a salvation. God promised that he would fix everything and he would reveal different parts of that. You know, as we, over Christmas, we kind of looked at some of those things as we were building up towards Christmas and God's plan of redemption, but it was always a mystery until Jesus. And then when Jesus came, that mystery was revealed. How is this going to work? Jesus. Jesus took our place. Jesus is the plan of redemption. And Paul is saying that we might be able to now proclaim this mystery. He says, you know, pray for me that I might be able to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. He's now proclaiming the things that he knows to people who don't know it. And the same is true with us. We are proclaiming a mystery, but that means we have to know that. You know, so continuing, you know, Paul would go before the Lord and reflect upon the gospel in his own life and look at how God has changed him. And, you know, you can go back and see him recount his story time and time again. And he's continuing to learn the things that God has done so that he can reveal that mission. We need to be doing the same thing, learning the gospel, asking God, help me reveal this because I know this. Because I know this. So this is what Paul does. He speaks with boldness. He speaks with boldness. It doesn't mean that we're being judgmental or arrogant or stuffing it down someone's throat or yelling it at every street corner, but it does mean that we don't water it down. We don't try to hide it. It's not a bait and switch. We just talk plainly. We don't add to it to make the easy parts or the hard parts easier. We just tell people. Because it's not our words, it's God's words. It's not our plan, it's God's plan. And so when we are praying for opportunities to share the gospel, we start looking for those opportunities. And when we step in, it's like, listen, I'm going to do this with boldness. I'm going to do this with boldness. And, you know, we do need to live the gospel. People, when they look at your life, if you are a follower of Jesus, they should see a difference. They should see a different way of living in you. But that should always then be followed up by you telling them how. Listen, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about sin. Let me tell you about God. And moving your way into that conversation. You know, and a couple things that we need to do that just kind of help out with this. One, you know, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, you can write this down and go read it later, but it's a great passage. But 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16, it talks about the gospel as a fragrance. It talks about the gospel as a fragrance, and it says that for some, it's the fragrance of life. When you tell people about Jesus Christ, it's going to bring life to people. It's going to, you know, you'll see their eyes light up and you'll see them start to understand it and you'll see them be like, that's what I've been missing. And you'll have those conversations when you start to tell people about the gospel, it just like lights them up and it brings life to them. But on the flip side of that, it's also the fragrance of death. It's also the fragrance of death. Some people are going to hear the gospel and completely and utterly shut it out. Because it's going to tell them they're dying. It's going to tell them that what they're doing is not right, and it leads to hell. And people don't want to hear that. And we just need to understand, listen, this is it. When we tell people about the gospel, it's either going to be the fragrance of life or the fragrance of death, and we cannot be afraid of that. We cannot be afraid of that. We have to understand this is what we do. And we have to do it in loving conviction. You know, when Jesus even on his way to the cross, when he, you know, went before in Luke 19, when he went over Jerusalem, he knew that, you know, that condemnation was going to come down. He wept over that. He wept over his people, and we need to be doing the same thing. We go before people to proclaim Jesus to them. It has to be out of a place of love for them, convictional love that comes from Jesus. I love you more than you will ever know because of what Jesus has done. And that allows us then to be able to say, listen, I'm going to either be life or death to you because of what Jesus has done for me. And that's a hard conversation. But that's what it means to speak with boldness. But how do we do that practically? How do we kind of get ourselves into that where we speak boldly into people's lives? We got to look for specific ways. And this is just more applicational, speaking from Jesse. This isn't scripture, but just trying to apply this very specifically. But look for ways that the gospel specifically apply to the people that you are talking to. Okay, and you know, a lot of times we try to share the gospel with people just because we want to see them saved. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. You know, I have a lot of people who, you know, I have family and cousins and things like that that I try to get together with and I try to share the gospel with because, you know, I want to see them saved. But a lot of times they're not ready. You know, God hasn't opened up that door. And so when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus, it's going to be death. And that doesn't mean we don't try and keep pushing in. But what we can do to be able to speak plainly and boldly is we got to look for people who are ripened, red apples. What are you talking about? Well, most of the time, when you talk to somebody who, especially as adults, got saved as an adult, it's because God threw a rock at them and just wrecked their life. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a loss of job. You know, maybe there was a death in the family. Maybe their job is really hard. Maybe their life is falling apart because of all of these things. But when you start to see these things, these are ripeners. God put these in people's lives to ripen them, to get them ready to see that they need the gospel. And so if we want to be able to speak boldly in a way where it brings fragrance, look for those boulders. When you have conversations with people, and they start opening up to you, and you say, that's a ripe person. They need to be here on Sunday morning. They need to be, they need to be hearing about the gospel from you specifically. And so we need to, if you want to see this work well, just look for people who are ready. Look for people who are ripe and then just speak with boldness. Let me tell you how the gospel applies specifically to that. You might think I'm crazy, but that's fine. We'll talk about that craziness later. Let me tell you about the gospel. This is how it applies specifically to your life. We've got to speak with boldness. And lastly, Paul closes and he talks about living as a gospel ambassador. Living as a gospel ambassador. I lived in Texas for a while when I was 10 to 14. And we moved from Wisconsin. We lived in central Wisconsin. We moved down to Texas. And I lived in Texas when the Dallas Cowboys were in their golden days. When Jerry Jones thought he was the guy. He still thinks that. Who are we kidding? But, I lived there when they were going to Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. And, I was a Packer fan. And I really learned how to be a Packer fan in Texas because it was really hard. As a little junior high boy, with all your friends were rooting for this Dallas Cowboys team that kept on winning and winning and winning. And Brett Favre just kept on throwing interceptions and interceptions and interceptions. But you know what? I stuck with it. I painted my room green and gold. I bought every time I'd come back to Wisconsin, I'd buy a new hat and a new shirt. I knew who my team was. And there was no changing it. There was no changing it. And that year, 1996, when Green Bay won the Super Bowl, did I let everybody know it. Why? Because I was an ambassador. I understood my role as a Packer fan. Dallas is not America's team. Don't even think about saying it. My job was to convince everybody of that as a junior hire. And I did a very good job. You know what? Most of my conversation would end up in some stupid sports conversation because of that. That's what an ambassador is. That's what an ambassador is, Paul says. He says, that the words coming out of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You see, Paul had a mindset. He was able to be an unafraid witness because he understood his life as an ambassador. Okay, an ambassador is somebody, an envoy or an envoy who officially represents a higher authority. Paul got it. He's like, listen, I'm not here to make Paul look better. I'm not here to proclaim my message or go and find my thing. I'm here to do God's thing. This is my life. I am an ambassador for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is how he thought and acted. And this is what allowed him to be a witness like he was because his whole life fell under this ambassador thing. And you see, you and I, we need that. We need to understand our life as an ambassador. I am not just about proclaiming my Facebook business. Okay, those are okay. But my greatest message has to be the message of Jesus Christ. See, I'm a self-proclaimed ambassador for Aldi. Okay, if you want to really talk about something that's going to change your life, you really need to go shop at Aldi. Just trust me on this one. John Matson is in kids ministry, and I was going to finagle him because we were talking about this the other day. But really, it does. It changes your life, okay? Like, their cheese section is just phenomenal. And it's really good. And then you get your sausages and crackers. Those are awesome. And they're all these special section. Like if you go at the right time, I'm a snacker, and you can just about get everything you want there. And it will save you. Again, everyone's like, well, Jesse, no, just be quiet. Listen up. Okay, Aldi is they get the exact same stuff as Trader Joe's. Don't talk to me about Trader Joe's. Everything Trader Joe's is in Aldi for like half the price, okay? Just, we could talk about this afterwards. Whatever, we all have things we're ambassadors for. We have things that we have conversations about. Just go back and look at your Facebook feed or Instagram feed, or go think back of your last 5 or 6 conversations with people. Or we have things that we proclaim, messages we push forward, things that we think change our life and make a difference. And so we tell people about them and listen up. Our greatest message needs to be Jesus. Our loudest message, not in a bad way, but our loudest message needs to be Jesus. Our most convincing message needs to be Jesus. See, we need to be ambassadors. This is what we are called to do. A church is not the sum. I talked about this a little bit this week. I posted this out there as I was thinking about this. But the church is not the sum total of its programs. Okay, programs are good. We do lots of different things to help our church be healthy, to get us in the right place, to help us do the things the church does. But that's not the health of the church. The health of the church is when the church is taking the message of Jesus every day and proclaiming it in their life. The church should not be, well, you have this and this and you don't have this, and if we're going to be successful, we really need to have this. No. If we're going to really be people who are about making disciples, discipleship happens when we tell people about Jesus Christ. And we need to be looking at our life as an ambassadors. Everything that God has put it for us is an opportunity for us to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Your job, where you go to school, the friend circle you have, the family that you're in every one of those circumstances, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And if this church is going to be successful, it's not going to be because of the programs. It's going to be because we get this. We get this. I am the church. You are the church. And when I step outside of this building, I'm going to continue that every week, proclaiming the message of Jesus, telling people about Jesus, making disciples from the very beginning to the very ending. We need to see ourselves in this light. We are ambassadors of the gospel. You see, we want to make a kingdom impact. I'm so excited to be able to look back in a year and in 5 years and 10 years and just see what God has done. Like, it was even this week, just as we launched with life groups, I was talking about this in our prayer time earlier before church this morning, but just getting some different updates on life groups launching and just being able to be a part of something like that was like, yes, Lord, that's so exciting. We're getting to affect one another and continuing to build this family and continuing to see God move and build a culture. And even just those little things are so exciting. But when we get to year 2 and year 5 and year 10 and we get to look back and God did this and God did this and God did this and God did this, it's going to happen because we understand I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. God has given me a message. I'm going to speak it boldly. I'm going to pray for opportunities to be able to do that. So this week, as you go home, I just want to encourage you, reframe your mindset. More than anything else, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ that speaks boldly. Pray for opportunities to be able to share Jesus with people. Even think about opportunities around you right now. Who are people you know that have been hit by a rock? Who you know that God is offering up ripened opportunities to get them to the right place. And go home and try to have coffee with them this week. Go get dinner with them. Go hang out with them. And go find opportunity and just speak plainly. Lord, just help me speak plainly. Help the words of my mouth be your words and help me proclaim the gospel clearly, boldly. And then just let them work. And again, like I tell you every week, and then come back and tell people about it. Don't just leave these stories in your own realm of existence, but bring back and let it encourage other people and let it spur other people on to be doing the same thing. But my goal for you this week is share the gospel with somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. Go find somebody and do it and go after it. Amen? One of the things that the band's gonna come back down. And one of the things a lot of times that helps me share the gospel and speak it plainly is to be able to see it at work in my own life. And so I thought it would be kind of a cool way to end this series and end this message. We're going to take a time of communion, okay? And what communion is a way before, a way where we go before the throne and we remember the work of Jesus. You know, we go and, the Bible talks about when Jesus was in the upper room and he takes the bread and he breaks the bread and he says, this is my body broken for you. And he tells his disciples that, this is me taking your place. And we remember that Christ took our place. We remember that he broke his body for our sin. And, when you take communion, it's a remember, reflection, taking time to really think about, Christ sacrificed for me. And then he talks about the cup of the blood of the new covenant that was spilled on our behalf, and this was a picture that our sin is now covered. My body was broken, and your sin is covered, and now you live under grace. It's no longer your work that does it, but it's my grace that covers you, and you are now free to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are no longer in bondage to your sin. You see, every time we take communion, we should be proclaiming the gospel to ourselves. We should be confessing our sins. That's what we did earlier. We're kind of remembering before the Lord and remembering, confessing our sins and saying, Lord, take my sins. Let me be an open book before you. And then when you go to the communion table, it's an opportunity to remember the gospel work in your life. And you want to see your life drastically change for the gospel and become an ambassador, preach the gospel to yourself regularly. Preach the work of Christ regularly. And so communion is a great way to do that. So we're going to do a couple more songs. And I'm going to have you do, just while they're doing that first song, if you want to stand and sing, if you want to sit and sing, whatever, you can do that. But just take some time to reflect upon the work of Jesus, reflect upon his body broken on our behalf, and reflect upon the fact that his blood was spilled on our behalf, and go up and just remember the gospel. And the communion table is for people who believe in Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, don't worry about it. Come talk to me. We can talk about that afterwards. But it's for people who know Jesus. And just go up and remember that and allow it to put you before the throne humbly, but then come out celebratory because Christ has covered your sin and lead you into a place of worship. But that's also one of the best places to tell other people about Jesus because you are remembering the gospel on a regular basis. So I'm going to pray, and they're going to start singing. Whenever you're ready, you can go up and take communion. God, we come before you this morning, and God, I pray that we would be unafraid witnesses. God, I pray that we would see this church grow, not just because of people coming in from other churches, but because people are getting saved. God, I pray for even this week for opportunities for people in this building to be able to go out and share the gospel boldly and to see people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that we would come back next Sunday and just hear some stories of people telling and being ambassadors for Jesus and then seeing that come to fruition. God, I pray for a courage to be able to be the fragrance that you've called us to be. God, I pray that you'd open up opportunities, God, for neighbors and coworkers. And God, that we would step through those. And God, I pray that it would come from a place of remembrance of the work that you have done for us, Lord, that the gospel would be impacting us first and foremost. And it would come from a place of real life change. And God, as we come before you in a time of communion, Lord, that we would be reflecting upon the work that you have done in us. And God, we worship you. And God, we glorify you in all that we do.